Hello, everybody. We're back with another Community Voices segment on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. I'm Bea Bonner, along with co-host Randy Eccles, as we help you get to know some more of your neighbors. And so we're really glad to be able to bring you this show, and it's because of you all, our listeners. We're in our winter pledge drive, so if you have not made a gift yet, be sure to call 217-206-9847 or go to nprillinois.org to make a gift today. It makes all the difference, and we're so glad to be able to be in Springfield, bringing you new people to talk to every week. So we're still trying to get to know some more of our neighbors today. We have another special guest, and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, everybody. I'm Lisa Clemens-Stott. Currently, I'm the executive director of Downtown Springfield, Inc.
And Lisa actually has ties to NPR Illinois, as she was here not too many years ago helping do exactly this, which was get people to support the station. And she did a great job and made it so we could do a lot of amazing things. Thank you for that, Lisa.
Well, I love public radio. I love the mission of public radio. It really speaks to me. I was a journalism major in college, and I really think it's kind of the last bastion of real, free, independent news. And you know, talking about our local situation in Springfield, we've had numerous newspaper reporters that have been taking buyouts lately, and you know, the corporate interests at the newspaper are trying to shrink that news team. So the ability for those of us in the community to support public radio and make sure that you have what you need to hire people to do their jobs is really important to me.
I happen to be on a webinar with a national news consultant this past week. And one of the things they said that caught my attention is they think public media will be the only group covering local news in the future. And that was alarming, because we've got a lot to do to be able to cover what other people in town have been able to do. And we've been making lots of progress over the years, and that's really through the support of the listeners. Listeners are our biggest line of funding to help make sure we can do what we do. So please do, if you haven't yet, go to nprillinois.org and make a gift, or call 206-9847 and you can make that donation. If you already have, thank you very much. We really appreciate it. Lisa, you've got a really big gig in front of you right now, and you've been doing a wonderful job for a few years now with Downtown Springfield, Inc. And downtown seems, the healthier it can be, the healthier the whole area can be. But wow, COVID has thrown quite the curveball. How are you managing that with all the partners?
It's something that everyone is going through. It's something that every small business in the country is going through. So, you know, we're not alone. It's not a situation where, you know, the state of downtown is more horrible than anywhere else. And I actually think that the crisis has shown that when you have a strong neighborhood association, that you can get through it better. You know, sometimes I think about these other businesses around Springfield who aren't part of an association, who where are they getting their information? How are they finding out about grants and things like that? You know, we've really honed in on supporting the small businesses for what they need every step of the way. And then the other part about it is, as an organization, we still have to do activities that help the businesses. So I've been really proud of our team of staff and volunteers. We have so many volunteers coming to the table still. We do a lot of Zoom calls, right, to keep things moving forward. But, you know, we've done things like virtual cash mobs. It's like a flash mob, but it's a cash mob. And since we can't have 100 people in a business to support them on an evening, you know, we've done them online. We've done them with Facebook Live. People spent like $7,000 over a few months at a lot of the small businesses and things like that. So we've just been pivoting like everyone else. And I hope that word is banned after we get out of this pandemic, because we're all sick of pivoting. But, you know, just like public radio, it's for a very good cause. The downtown, you know, what it is what represents our whole community to the world. So we have to have it be strong. We have to have it be beautiful. And there's a lot of people who care about it. So that's great.
When this is over, do you see virtual being the new way to get activities and things going for people in Springfield?
I think that this will have made us realize that we need to think about our outdoor spaces a little bit more. you know, we've been talking about the Y block, that empty block next to the governor's mansion, for a while. And, you know, DSI, we believed it was bought with TIF dollars. So we felt like it needed to have a TIF project on it. But I think the other part we've always said is that it needs to be a beautiful park on half of it, because it can't be built up. And so I think people are realizing that we have to really take a look at our outdoor spaces. We have to make sure we have a lot more outdoor seating, more indoor outdoor feeling, allow some of our historic buildings maybe to have, you know, like the garage door type open that you can see in some other cities, allow more of that. And I don't think that everyone will stay virtual. I think honestly, when this is over, everyone's going to run out and act crazy and try to have the most fun they can. And downtown Springfield definitely wants to be a part of that.
We've actually heard from several of our guests we've talked to that they can't wait for the first big downtown festival where we all get to go out and go crazy. So on that with everybody else, and agree with you, that'll be tremendous. Can't get there soon enough.
Well, I was glad to see that even with the 11 Amp Grant series, you're able to still do something with like the music lessons and the music donations. I mean, there's so much still going on, which shocks me, because I'd be like, nope, we're going to stop it. But there's so much going on with like the competitions and just having people come out and record things separately. So there's still that aspect of there's still life here, even though life has changed.
The creative people in our community have had to adjust like everyone else. And you have, when you're a creative person, you have to have that outpouring somehow, right? So it is something that you almost can't stop. You can't bottle it up. And it's been great that the Levitt Foundation has been able to work with us and really support us this whole way. They're supporting all of the, you know, 20 plus communities who are Levitt AMP grantees. And we meet monthly and they give us tips on how to do online music streaming and everything. You know, they're just right there with us. But they have said that for 2021, we all really need to find a way to safely have outdoor concerts. And if we can't, you know, they'll support us with some online things. But I'm thinking that we know so much about the virus now, and we are better knowing about the vaccine. And so I think that by the end of May, we will know how to safely come together for the Levitt Outdoor Music Series, and that we'll be able to have a successful series next year.
Yeah, for sure. So there are still things going on downtown. Obviously, the farmers market is kept in operation at a level. There is the proposed public marketplace. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Adams family area and how all that's working out?
Sure. When you look back to 5 years ago when I came, Cafe Moxo has been the stalwart on that block for 13 years, but we had a lot of vacant spaces. And we started thinking about how do we do this block by block strategy to get people to come together in a community. And I can't say that it's anything that DSI did, but it's just, there's been one after another new businesses that are willing to work in a community spirit, we're willing to work together, understand that joining together amplifies their ability. So Adams Family is an amazing row of locally owned businesses right now. And, you know, even as new as October, we had Whimsy Tea move in for their first brick and mortar there on Adams Street. So, you know, you've got a t-shirt shop, you've got women's clothing, you've got Moxo, you've got Buzz Bomb. It's just it's a really great vibe. They've been doing great. The other good thing that happened with them is that Brown, Hay & Stevens, you know, the law firm from Lincoln's time, they saw all the goodness that was happening with the small businesses. And they also understand that small businesses are under a lot of duress right now financially. So that Brown, Hay & Stevens actually sponsored the tent that is outside of Adams Family right now as part of the Old Capitol Holiday Walks, which are going on. So it's a great community of small businesses and big businesses all helping each other out.
Well, I'm thrilled that that continues to do well. Are there any other areas of downtown like Adams Family that you see being the next seed or the next phase of development?
Well, I think, you know, when you think about what the traditional Main Street feel has been for Springfield forever, it's really been 6th Street, right? 6th Street was always the street that had the most diversity, and it still does. So, 6th Street's still like, hey, we're still here. We're the original Adams Family, you know, sometimes what they feel like. I think that we have a lot of potential around Monroe and Washington, the other two east-west streets. Adams is a very good pedestrian feel street because it's kind of smaller. It doesn't have as many lanes. I think there are opportunities for us, especially on Washington Street, to kind of reduce the number of lanes they have. There are three lanes right now, and kind of make it feel more pedestrian friendly. Anvil and Forge is kind of the anchor on the block between 6th and 7th. And I think that there's potential in all of those storefronts to get a lot of new young businesses going. So I definitely think that that is the next place for us to really focus on. And funny enough, we are hosting the holiday markets on right in front of Anvil and Forge. The last one of the year is the Saturday before Christmas. So it's December 19th, and it'll be mostly outdoors with some vendors inside. But, you know, everything we can do to kind of boost the other blocks as Adams kind of starts feeding on itself and sustaining itself is something that we're looking at.
And I think I saw the Springfield Art Association Collective has moved out of the Hoagland and down to that area.
Yeah, that's one of the things that the pandemic brought. They realized that it's difficult to be part of a larger institution that, you know, may or may not be able to allow people in. So yes, they're down there on Fifth Street right now, right next to Uptown Looks. So we're just starting to get all these little nooks where people are filling in the holes that we had before. And when I look at the past year, there were a lot of big names that we lost, right? You know, Augie retired, Robbie retired. We lost some of our, you know, 20 to 40 year old businesses, but then I have this list of new businesses that have opened. And honestly, we have more businesses that have opened than closed downtown. And that happens during times of economic strife. People who are tired of being beholden to someone else and have their own idea, they want to go out on their own. And we really have seen that.
You are listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS, and we're talking to Lisa Clement-Stott about all the potential that is really in downtown Springfield. So many great projects and things that there currently seems to be going on amid the pandemic. And you know what? We've talked to so many of these people that they're working with to make Springfield a better place right here on Community Voices. So keep supporting local, keep supporting your public radio station, NPR Illinois. If you haven't made a gift yet, please call 217-206-9847 or go online to nprillinois.org to make a gift right now. And now, Lisa, one thing we do on here is we ask people where they're originally from. Are you a Springfield native?
I have lived in Springfield longer than I've lived anywhere else in my life, but I am not originally from here. I grew up in Shenoah, which is a small town north of Bloomington Normal. And then I went to school in Champaign. So I have been in the Central Illinois Bermuda Triangle my whole life. And I have lived in Springfield now longer than anywhere else.
And it's interesting, we ask folks a lot of times, what is it that they find attracts them to Springfield and keeps them weighted here? And I think a lot of the work you're doing is been the answer for folks, the feeling that has developed downtown and in different parts. How's that work for you? That's work. You're so close to it. Are there other aspects of Springfield holding you here?
I do think that Springfield is a very family-focused town. And so I'm seeing a lot of the kids who went away to college and maybe worked in Chicago or something coming back here now and wanting to start their families and wanting to be back in their home community. For me, you know, that's not exactly my experience, but I married a lobbyist. So our lives have been a lot about state government. And so that's the other tie that binds in Springfield is the state and the work that it does. So I really am happy to devote my life to doing things to make our community a better place. I mean, NPR is the original crowdfunding, right? You give, you invest, and you see your investment you listen to your investment every single day. You asked me about public market earlier. That's taking a bank that's been vacant for 20 to 30 years at 4th and Adams, and they're using, you know, equity crowdfunding, meaning that it's not like a Kickstarter where you give some money and then you don't ever see it again. Much like public radio, you will be able to see the fruits of your labor by investing in that. And so they're accepting investments of like only $500 is the entry point, which is a really good entry point for something like that. So we're kind of hoping that will be very successful, and then we'll be able to do other projects downtown that are very successful, and to keep all these people who are coming back to Springfield and wanting to make their hometown a cooler, better place, that they'll be a part of it.
Yeah, I just had talked to David on a previous Community Voices piece. And when I looked at the designs, those are things like you see in Chicago, the new concept of like the rooftop bars and things like that. And even in St. Louis, you see a lot of that.
We're talking with Lisa Clemens-Stott on Community Voices today. We're in the year-end drive here at NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. And we encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to make a gift at 206-9847, a number I'm sure Lisa has still memorized in her head from the days of doing pledge drives for NPR Illinois. And you can also go to nprillinois.org and make that donation. There's a little rectangle on the top right of the website you can click and use your credit card. It only takes a couple minutes, and it really does make a huge difference. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today. Anything else that is going on that we should make sure we get out to the community?
Well, Old Capitol holiday walks are happening right now. We have daily deals, and we have a red ticket giveaway, which is for every $15 you spend at a downtown participating business, you'll get a red ticket, and then we'll draw it and someone will win $1,000. And then we're really in our strategic planning session for 2021, and we really have a goal of changing the visitor experience on the outside when you come downtown and really making it that place where you want to take a selfie and post it on Instagram almost on every corner of downtown. So if anybody wants to get involved with that, I would love, you know, new ideas and people who have been maybe sitting on the sidelines not knowing how they could get involved. I'd love for them to get involved. And then for NPR, you know, I want to recommend day sponsors to anyone. I just did ours. Our son turns 18 in January, and so we're going to celebrate that. So if you've got an anniversary or something special coming up and you can contribute that, that's what I would recommend for people to support the station.
$20 a month is all it takes to get a day sponsorship, $240 for the year. And you get 8 announcements on that special day to recognize something like a birthday or an anniversary. So yeah, it's a really nice way to do things. Thanks, Lisa.
Another special year-end drive edition of Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Thanks to our guests and neighbors who, like you, hear the value in NPR Illinois programs and strongly support them. If you've already donated, thank you. If you haven't, please donate now at nprillinois.org or by calling 206-9847. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. Find on-demand audio at nprillinois.org. For Randy Eccles, I'm Bea Bonner.